Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Fungela. On this episode, we have my good friend Christina P joining us, and we have a real talk about her cancer diagnosis, what she's grateful for within that, the healing power of cats and dogs, of gardening. We get into it, and she shares a lot about from when she found out about her diagnosis to where she's at now. And it was a real honest, real conversation. I loved every minute of it. We had some good laughs in there. We talk about, you know, both being mom stand-up comedians and what that's about. And we get into getting mad at our husbands for no reason. It was a lot of fun. And listen, if you want to call us and tell us what you are grateful for or what is your mattitude these days, call us at this phone number, Danielle.
747-300-5380.
Don't forget to like and subscribe. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Tell all your friends about the Fungela podcast and share the news with everybody. Don't forget I'm on tour right now. Angela.com is where you can get tickets. I'm on the family reunion tour. Come and see me when I'm at a city near you. And yeah, check out this episode with my good friend Christina P. Hey. He's a little street dog. Yeah, he's my firstborn. He's my forever angel baby. I love him so much. The animals are the best. He is. And he's like, he's a therapy dog for other people too, like not just me. I see him melt people. Like, obviously, just anybody who's just like, oh my God, he's so cute, start petting him. And it, like, oh, thanks, you know, it like warms their heart. But then I can actually, I see the people who needed it.
Yeah.
And he knows who needs it.
Yeah.
And he'll know to just like get in there with them. And it's so interesting to see like how intuitive he is. And he's just really special.
Oh, yeah.
I've taken him to like senior homes and stuff. And
I want to do that when my kids are out of the house, is train dogs to be with dying people, sick people, sick kids. But also, so when I had So I after my cancer, well, actually, I'm still in treatment. Not really. I finished my treatment. Sorry. I should.
What is it? What is
this. So I had breast cancer in June, and it was early enough that they got rid of it all. So I have a double mastectomy, and now I'm just waiting for reconstructive surgery in August. So when I say I'm still in it, like I'm kind of still
in.
I'm still in the land of like, am I a person?
When you first got that news, right? Because you said like you went in and
oh my gosh,
and like you would joke about it before, but then when did they call you on the phone? Did you go back in? Like how'd they tell you?
It's the worst. So it's the like when you find out. Okay, so you do a biopsy. Usually you get called in. They see something in the mammogram. You do a biopsy, and they're like, "I'm sure it's fine. It's perhaps fine." Whereas like for years, like I said before we started recording, I would joke with my husband like, "I'm probably dying of cancer. I don't care. I'm dying of cancer anyway." Like I kind of weirdly subconsciously knew. So Friday, I always joke that my life changed on June 6, 2024, 3:44 p.m. is when my doctor called me. And like your life up until 3:44 p.m. June 6 is normal. And then you get that phone call and you're like, wait, what? Because you get into like everything just gets really like it's like a fugue state. It just goes like in the movie where you're like,
were you by yourself? What? Who were you with?
No, thankfully my husband was there when I got the call. But then of course he had to leave to go on tour literally 10 minutes after I'd gotten that phone call.
What, how did you tell him? I mean, you don't have to, I'm asking too many personal details, but like how did you say, were you on the phone and like while you were still on the phone telling him, or did you hang up and be like, wait, hold on?
No, he was sitting right like as close to me as you are right now, and then my dog called me, and I was like, wait, what, dude? And I just looked at Tom, and I was like, I just told him. I was like, I think I have cancer, dude. And I didn't say dude, but I was like, and I put the doctor on speakerphone because when you hear those words, you're just like, you don't, your brain stops.
Ugh.
And I couldn't. And after that, I was like dissociated. And we go to these appointments and you just have your, like, I would make my husband just listen for me because I couldn't.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah. You just have someone do the work for you that way. And
first of all, I would not bring my husband to that. I would definitely bring Danielle for that appointment. She'd be taking way better notes than my husband would. It's my husband is, it's he can come, he could be there, but Danielle will be the one taking notes.
I would. And I'd probably have follow-up questions.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Because women are way better with this, with these things. My husband was just, you know, traumatized.
And asking you after, what did they say? And you're like, you were there. You were supposed to be listening.
Yeah, thankfully my sister-in-law is a nurse. And so she came with me to a lot of the appointments and really took care of me, thank God. What I was going to say, apropos our dog discussion, is that I got a cat during this. And I was always a dog lady. You and I know we've been forever dogs. Yep. This cat, this is the crazy thing. This cat would go right on my chest where the cancer was right after surgery, after I had healed.
Oh, my God.
And chill out there. This is his spot.
I love him.
Where the tumor was. Isn't that
He's healing you.
He's healing me.
Yeah.
Even when I have, like, menstrual cramps, he just, dude, he knows. And he lays down right there.
Oh,
and you're
like,
how do they know?
Mm-hmm.
How do they know?
And they're from God. They're little angels.
But also, I've heard people say, like, because, you know, there's a lot of medical dogs, too. And I don't know about if there's medical cats. I don't know. But they can sometimes, like, sniff out. I mean, they can sniff out when someone's about to have a seizure.
That's right.
So I'm sure they can, like, weirdly smell it or something, maybe.
Totally. Maybe. 100%. I believe that.
Well, I was on TikTok.
And of course you were.
That's where I get all my news. And I saw there was a cat that could tell when somebody would pass in a hospice facility. So when this cat would go to this person's bed, they knew,
oh,
Kathy's going to go. This is Kathy's day. I promise you. I wish I still had it.
Imagine you just laying in your bed in your room. Here come that cat. You're like, no.
Like, that cat is now the Grim Reaper. Like, that's like the sign. Oh, my God.
You forget. You just start petting the cat while you're watching Price is Right. You're just like, oh, no.
You're like, wait a minute.
You're like, no.
Get off the bed, munchkin.
Yeah. No way.
How do they know? And I swear that cat came to us, like, we didn't want a cat. I didn't want a cat.
How'd that happen?
My son, Ellis, my 9-year-old, was begging for the cat. Mom, I want a cat. And he begged for 3 months. So I was like, all right, this isn't just one of those impulsive. This is like a deep need.
Yeah.
So I would go to this cat cafe here in Austin, and we pet the cats every Sunday. And they're all rescues. Oh, I know. Gosh. And like, eventually we found Munchkin. And Munchkin was chilling. And all the kids were just like, you know how kids are touching it, hurting it. Yeah. And the cat was so chill. He was just like, whatever, dude. And I'm like, that's the one. Because my kids will torture him.
Oh. I think it's funny how, this is what I believe. I believe how that God is so powerful. And I feel like it's so special how God can use your son to need a cat.
You just gave me chills. I didn't even think of it that way.
To bring you your little healing partner through your journey. That everybody in your family is a part of this process with you.
Yes.
In listening to those little things, you know what I mean? That it wasn't just like, I'm going to get a cat or whatever, but it was how God just works beautifully in those situations. I think that's really
powerful. Crazy. And you know what too, like, I didn't even thought of it that way. That he put this maybe inclination, or my son has this weird inclination out of the blue, and then it comes together. And and my sister-in-law Jane, and my mother-in-law, they lived in Florida at the time. And I called Jane when I got diagnosed, and she's like, I'm coming. That's it. And she stayed with us.
That's what you need, those people that are willing to just come and
drop
be by
everything.
Your side. That's unreal.
And now she lives like 2 miles from us because we're like, just moving here now.
Oh, bless her.
And so we got a family out of it. Like, Tom's mother and sister now live nearby, and they come over for Sunday dinner. And
I love that.
And I never had that growing up. Like, my family was so chaotic and crazy. And so it really ended up being like this incredibly healing.
Again, going back to how all of this works together and it's just all a part of it. And it's not like, oh, you're going to have cancer so that you can have a family Sunday dinner. That's not what it is. It's just like out of this chaos, it's like, okay, and then here's your son's heart wanting a cat, and then here's your family coming, and now you're going to have a Sunday beautiful dinner and a thing that you never had before. And especially, so you never had it growing up. I know you've talked a bit about how your family was wild growing up, but even like in yours and Tom's hustle years, you know what I mean? Not that you're not hustling right now, but I'm talking about when you guys were in your apartment and like all of that.
Yeah.
Like Sunday dinners, family time, like it's not non-existent when you're trying to go for your dreams, but it's so important and so beautiful when you can rest in those things that we take for granted. Like when we're looking at social media and seeing like the big celebrities or whatever, like, oh, that life, that's awesome, that's whatever. And then sometimes these people are like, I wish I could just go to the grocery store.
Oh, it's terrible.
And do something simple and beautiful and just have Sunday dinner. Like you just want the regular, peaceful family love thing. That's
yeah. And you know what's so funny about this with, okay, so like I had breast cancer, I'm in remission, I'm fine, I'm not dying now, but like usually when people have cancer, the first thing they say is, I'm going to do all the things I never did. I never had the courage to do this business, or I'm going to start the thing I never started. I'm going to live out these next years to the, and I actually had the opposite. When I came out of this, I was like, oh, I've, like you just said, I've spent my entire adult life just surviving.
Yeah.
Because I so badly wanted out of my family.
Wow.
You know, like I was 17. I was like, uh-uh, dude, I'm out of here. Yeah. And I'm going to hustle. And this is going to work because I don't have a backup plan.
That's right.
There is no going home, dude. So for, you know, like you said, like Tommy and I, we got married relatively young now by today's standards in our 20s.
And, yeah.
Yeah, and I grind the grind, and I didn't have a life. And now I'm into, like, gardening.
Yes! Yes!
I have a garden. A hydroponic garden. I'm having a regular garden. I
Wait, what's hydroponic, first of all?
Oh, it's like you just, you get, it's like PVC pipes and water, and you can grow vegetables just with water and, like, liquid vitamins.
Whoa.
Because I grow my own vegetables because my oncologist was telling me that like 1 in 6 women is going to have breast cancer. 1 in 6, not 1 in 8.
I hate that.
1 in 6. I hate it too. And I go, why is that? She says, well, the environment, the food is polluted, the plastics, the GMO, the food you're eating is toxic. And when your oncologist, I have two of them, both of them told me that, this isn't just some far out hippie.
Yep.
So I've researched a little bit. There's kits you can buy online. Mm. So I do it in my kitchen. You just buy pods, pop them in. It waters it for you. I'm telling you, it's the easiest thing. So now I'm into that.
I love this because also, again, bring it, I don't know, I keep bringing it back to like spiritual God and how God works.
I love it.
It's like in 2020 when everybody was in lockdown, I started gardening.
No.
And I built a garden. When I say built, I had my gardener build me a garden and then I tended to it after. But he built this whole garden bed for me. But I felt so connected to God just by gardening because here's this living thing, right? It was just the dirt, you put your seed, you water it, whatever, and then all of a sudden it starts sprouting. I started having a full-on connection to my garden where I would talk to my garden when I was there. I was that weird girl and I was just like, I was practicing my gratitude with my garden, like, wow, oh my gosh, look at this tomato. Yeah. Thank you guys so much. And I'm like watering them. You guys are doing great. Like, oh my gosh, whatever. And then when I would leave my garden to go back in the house, I would say bye to my garden. I'd be like, all right, guys, I'll see you later. Yeah, you guys look good.
Yeah.
And they were really like a character in my life.
Yeah.
But I felt connected to God. Like it was like a living thing. And I felt like I was part of creation.
Yes. Angela, yes. That's exactly what it is. And you're a mother. You've made life inside of your body. How was that even a... What?
And as old as I was, too. I mean, we had talked about that, too. Girl, we had some Crusties in there. Then we had some doctors help us move the Crusties around so we could get pregnant.
Yeah.
Fun fact, Christine and I had the same doctor for a little while.
That's right.
And we found out later in life. We're like, wait, that was your doctor? She helped me get pregnant. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But how is it, Angela, that, like, just from two cells and then you're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And then 9 months later, a fully formed being and comes out of you and you're like, that is beyond science. There's something miraculous. There's something.
Yeah.
And still with plants too. I get fascinated every time. Like you said, you see that first little and you're like, but how?
Yeah.
I just put it in dirt and water. Like, what is this force?
Mm-hmm.
What is this? And it's this, maybe it's the same force that cats and dogs pick up on.
Yeah.
I don't know. Hey. What is the force that we're not picking up on? Humans don't.
Uh-huh. The fabric of, like, the universe that we don't see. We only see this dimension, you know what I mean? But it's that vibration. It's energy. It's, like, it's all of that. We can't see it, but you just have to have faith that it's there. And it's...
Yeah, and you know, as mother's intuition, you have that now. You know that. You know that when the baby cries, it's the up. This is a hunger cry, or fake news cry. Like I can hear my 6-year-old crying, and I'm like, "That's just that's not even that's not a cry, babe. You know, I'm hurt. No, you're not. I know you're not. But what is that? I didn't have that before I had kids. That's special tuning into a frequency. I think it's tapping into a divine like I always think it's I hate when I see male gurus because like because I'm like you're not even tapped in to
what did you create
have you received the divine into your body? Do you know what I mean? Like, have you tapped into the fabric of creation the way women have? I'm like, you're only aware of half of the picture, my man. I'm not saying that there's not great gurus out there and great religious people, obviously. But I think once you're a part of that cycle and a part of it, you're like, this thing is, it's bigger than me, clearly.
Totally.
I don't know what it is. I wish I knew. I don't. But I like to be a part of it. So I'm going to keep growing stuff and being a part of that.
Yeah. I love that for you. So you had your diagnosis in June 2024. And you went through that process, but you were still working during it all? What did you do? Because I know you were on the podcast and you made your announcement and stuff, but like what walk me through like how did you slow down? Like how did you get to where you are now and where are you now as far as like, I'm not touring or I'm not like, I just want to garden. I want to be a mom. Like, where are you now and how did you get there?
So unfortunately, cancer doesn't really, when you get it, when you find out you have it, it's just all hands on deck. That's it. Like you think you're fine one day. Like you're just, I got my blood work back from my doctor. I remember like a physical and he's like, gosh, you're so healthy. Like your cholesterol's down. All your numbers are great. And so I was skipping through town like, I am good. Like, I'm weightlifting twice a week. I'm eating healthy.
Yeah.
And then you get that other phone call. And you go from being like, I'm great, dude. I'm on all cylinders. I'm crushing this life to fighting for your life. Like, your whole existence just goes into keeping yourself alive. And that's, it happens in a minute.
Yeah.
And so you don't work. You shouldn't be on the road.
Right.
There is nothing. But the brain doesn't want to accept that. Mm-hmm. I remember I called Duncan Trussell because he had testicular cancer like a decade ago. And he goes, Christina, welcome to the cancer club. It's not very exclusive, but he goes, you're going to have to take at least a year off. And I was like, no, I don't. No way. I can't take a year off. Are you crazy? Like, I want to shoot this next special. I've got this and that. And then slowly you realize, like, yeah, you're not going anywhere. Like, you've got doctor's appointments and doctor's appointments. And they're going to do surgery on you. Wait, when? That's in 2 weeks? Oh, they're going to do what? Okay. Oh, there's another surgery? They found what? And you're out of control.
Yeah.
And it's in someone else's, it's in this institution's hands. And hopefully they're taking the right care of you. And you're helpless. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, well, so honestly, like, I did a lot of crazy stuff. Like I put a Christmas tree in my room. When I first found out, I was like, well, I like Christmas. Maybe the sadness won't get me if I make it Christmas in the house. And I went a little crazy and I did Christmas, you know, and then. And
How
then
did
I
you tell your kids?
I didn't. I didn't. I had to lie because they don't.
They still don't know?
I'm going to tell them, I think, soon because now they can handle it. They were only 5 and almost 8. So it was a little different place. Like my older guy was just out of second grade when I got that diagnosis. So I was like, I think I can tell him maybe now that I'm out of the woods.
Did they know anything about like, oh, mommy's going to surgery?
Yes. Just, but like, I lied to them too. I said, oh, mommy's got really big boobs because they always make fun of my boobs. I'm going to have my boobs made smaller. And that's what I thought I would do. They told me, we're just going to do a lumpectomy. You're going to do some radiation. And you're going to take hormone blockers for 5 years. She'll be fine. Okay, so it's just one surgery? Yeah, great. But then when they were in there, they found a lot more cancer. And then it was, let's get a double mastectomy. And I was like, great, take them all. Take my neighbor's boobs. Let's get out. Like, I don't want this ever again. And then other complications. And then another surgery. And the last surgery I had, I didn't even tell them I was going into surgery. I would go to the hospital in hair and makeup. And, like, I'd pick a cute outfit, I swear to God. And then I would wake up from surgery. My husband, I'd plaster on some lipstick, and I would just come home because I didn't want them to be.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. I'm crazy. But I didn't, you know, they were too little. I don't know. In my head, I was like, well, I'm not doing chemo. I'm not going to lose my hair, so maybe I don't have to explain everything.
How come you didn't have to do chemo? I don't understand chemo and when it's not.
So, yeah, that was, like, my worst fear, and I'm fucking sorry. I'm so glad I didn't have to do it. So, okay, so my diagnosis was still in C2, meaning still in the place of origin. It hadn't broken into my body yet, so it's still in the breasts where it's discovered.
Okay.
That's the blessing, and that's why they encourage you to get mammograms early.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got the cancer, it's in your boob, they can cut it out. Hopefully you won't need chemo. Now, if it spreads, if it's in your, it depends on the type too. If it's in your lymph nodes, now you're into chemo. That's when they blast you full of drugs to kill, shrink tumors, and then radiation depending on if you need to kill it further. So you want to get it early.
Mm-hmm.
What was the question now? Where am I now? Okay, So now I'm out of treatment. I finished my I did 7 weeks of radiation, and that was horrible. And then now I'm just like in this weird limbo of like, what if I get 20 more years? What are they going to look like? Mm-hmm. If I get 40 more years, what are they going to look like? Mm-hmm. What's the priority? What's important?
Yeah.
And it ain't. I'll tell you, it ain't doing the road.
No,
I'm done. No. I think I'm done. I can't. I physically can't because I think that's how I got sick too. Is like not sleeping, not eating, not exercising, not, you know, we're road dogs. I did it for 20 years.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
Yeah,
I'm tired. So now I really have a smaller life. I wake up, garden, I pet my cat, I exercise, I do all the things I never did.
Mm.
I will tell you something spiritual because I know you. This is a spiritual show. My mom had cancer when I was a kid. She had lymphoma when I was like a teenager. And she was the worst patient. Like, you ever have a relative that kind of enjoys being sick?
Sure.
It's too dark. It's horrible.
No, bring it.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, like she really enjoyed. And then even when she wasn't sick, would play the strings of my heart for that stuff. Like, I'm having a stroke. Like, and we go to the hospital and the doctor's like, she didn't have a stroke. She just fell down at Lamps Plus. Like,
I didn't personally have family that way, but I've seen episodes on TV.
You've seen episodes?
Yeah. I've seen episodes on TV. I've seen that character.
Okay. Yeah. So, yes. Picture like Tony Soprano's mom. That's kind of who I had. So, when I got sick, I vowed that I wouldn't be like that for my kids, for my husband. Like, I wouldn't. It's bad enough when you know someone around you is sick, but then to drag them down with you. So I would, okay, this is so not like me, but I love the prayer of St. Francis. Like, Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace.
Mm.
Where there is, what is it, injury? So pardon. So it was like, don't make this about me right now.
Mm.
I don't want to wallow in my own stuff.
Yeah.
I wanted to like, I don't know. What is this? What is this about me? I know this is not a psychology podcast, but...
No, but let's get into it.
I mean, I wanted to be, I guess, grateful for just waking up that day.
Yeah.
Because when you're recovering from stuff, it's a dark place. It's a very dark place to be
in. You wanted to sit in gratitude.
Yes.
For what was happening.
100%.
Okay.
Well, at least I can be a blessing to, like, my kids today. If I'm not... like some days all you can do when you're recovering from these things is like you do your radiation, you come home, you take a nap. That's your day.
That's an amazing place to be. And also to touch on a flip side of it is it sucks that your mom's experience, not, I got to figure out how to say this correctly, but like to overcompensate because your mom overdid it.
Yes, that's what I did.
Yeah, I that's like, what I'm saying. Like, it like, sucks nope, that you went into overcompensate because that's also not the best place to be because you need to receive the help, receive the love. Let me tell you this too and finish what you're saying. No, but when you came out with your video and you were like, don't nobody tell me like I'm sorry or whatever, like that whole thing.
Yeah.
I was like, but I want to say these things. Yeah. I want to show you my love. I want to like embrace you and like give you all of like my love and support and so that you can feel it, so you can tangibly feel love coming at you and radiating when there's so much fear that you're going to be combating. There's so much like anger, frustration, confusion, like all of that. Like I want to be able to send you that. And I remember when you put that video out, I was like, oh, but like, I want to respect you. This is your process. This isn't about me. This is your process. And so it makes sense now when you say like your mom overdid it. So you overcompensated.
Yes. Yeah, I don't want to, I know what you're saying, though. And I do appreciate that. I do appreciate your love and support. And I, like, feel it from people. I do, but in a quiet, reserved way.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Let yourself receive it, too.
Yeah, I know.
Receive it.
I know.
Love.
I'm working on that, Angela. Yeah. I get real weird about the feeling stuff.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
I got a narrow emotional bandwidth.
Yeah.
Well, how do you do it? You're a comedian.
You just open. There it is. You felt it.
I did.
That's it. You're healed. You did it.
Woo! Hold on.
And if anybody else wants to come on the Fungible podcast,
oh God,
handing out miracles over here. That makes a lot of sense. So you went into this like, let me. But that's a great where you want to sit in gratitude and the prayer that you were talking about. Like, let me be an instrument of peace. Like, that's incredible. Did you share that sentiment with Tom? Like, this is the stature, this is the position that I want to be coming from and in, or like how? No, it was just your personal. This is how I'm going to approach.
And I also think like, on the other hand, okay. So on the other hand, I was in the airport and we were in London and this guy came up to me, this English guy, and I never forget the words. He goes, I just want to thank you for your stoicism during your treatment. And I think, so to back it up culturally, like my parents are Eastern European and there's something to stoicism for me that's also really noble or in a way I wanted to like not burden people and do them the favor of like feeling bad for me. I didn't want people's pity.
Yeah.
I think that's the worst. I didn't want to be the poster girl for cancer stuff.
Yeah.
Where you're I don't like that attention. Some people fake cancer. You've seen these.
Right. I saw that episode too. Yeah.
That is my nightmare.
Yeah.
I didn't like that at all. So I think it gave me the skeeves. I don't know.
No, I get you.
So uncomfortable, Angela.
So you took time.
Yeah.
Off of your podcast as well?
Yeah, I would take time down if I was too tired to do it. I took time down, definitely. And then during radiation, if I wasn't up for it, I would be like, I can't do this week. And they would just,
Hey, when you first announced to the world that you had cancer, how long had you been dealing with it and before you told everybody?
Well, not very long, because we do that podcast weekly. And I don't think I had much time, maybe a couple weeks or something. Okay. I had a minute to digest it. And then I was like, I'm just not going to, because I had to cancel everything, like tour dates. And what do you tell, when you have to cancel tour dates, what do you say to people? Like, I can't lie and be like,
yeah,
I just don't like to lie. What am I going to lie about?
Unless it's your kids. then.
Yeah. Except to my children, yeah. I know. I'm going to have to come clean eventually.
Yeah.
And they were too young. They were too out of it. I don't know. They felt too young at the time. I think now they're more.
Were you concerned? Because you guys are famous, and I'm sure they have friends, and that anybody would like spill the beans to them.
Yeah, I think because they were so, again, they're small. So like at school, what idiot? Hopefully, teacher wouldn't be like, "Who's your mom?" You
right,
know?
Right.
I don't know. They haven't asked me.
Good.
So now I want to tell them. Should we call them?
Oh my gosh! Let's see. Unspeakerphone right here, exclusive on Vanilla.
Oh my god.
Wow. Okay.
I know. It's heavy. It's a bummer. See, this is how I get. I'm like, oh, I don't want to. Before I had this, I hated people telling me about their cancer. Didn't you hate that?
No.
Oh.
I was like, no, I think she likes those things.
No, I have so many in-depth questions. Oh,
ask me. You can ask me anything. I don't care. I tell, because I want to help. So, like, the only reason I even talk about it, because I just do it because I know that it helps somebody else.
Yeah.
Because it always helps somebody else.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
Get
your mammograms.
Yeah, get your mammograms. I went... Okay, so I was telling you, I got a mammogram, and what's that test, the number? Olivia Munn, when she had it, and she told everybody, have them check your something-something number. I forget what it's called. But it's basically your risk assessment.
Oh, yes.
Number. And if you're at...
Yeah, because I feel like somebody else we had on the pod, Karen Mills, didn't she also have that number?
I forget.
Oh, no, that
called.
Was ovarian. Just kidding.
Google it. It's the something risk assessment score, right? And I don't know what it is, but let's just say if it's 20, you're high risk. Okay. And when I went in, I was 19.
Yo.
So she's like, you're not high risk, but you're high up there. And then so what happened was she was like, and this is so dumb with our medical system, how it works. She's like, so you can get an MRI, but your insurance won't cover it because you're not high risk. You have to be at 20.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm 19.
Yeah.
So she's like, you can wait. I'm going to have you come back in 6 months. Because also when they did my mammogram, there was some cloudiness. And she was like, but you're breastfeeding. So it could be some milk. So you got to come back in 6 months when you're not breastfeeding anymore. And then we'll do your risk assessment score again, whatever that thing is called. So I was like, okay. And that would kind of like made me a little bit on alert because I was so close to being high risk. So then I come back in 6 months, and now my score is 24.
What?
Wait, why? It went up?
Yeah, it went up.
Is it the Gale model or the Tyrer-Cuzick model?
No. It's
okay.
Cancer. Mm. Google what Olivia Munn cancer risk assessment.
Because she went to some, she really gave credit to that doctor. It was some specialized holistic or whole approach, whatever doctor, not just, you know, when they look at one part of your meat.
Yeah, so I went back in.
How did it increase? I don't understand.
That's what I was asking him. Like, how did it go? They're like, the factors are your age. If you've had kids late, they take your family history, all of that kind of stuff. And I'm like, the only thing that has changed is I got 6 months older. So how did that happen? And so she didn't really have an answer for me about how the number changed. So anyways, they're like, you can.
I was right. Now, it is what I said.
What is it?
The Tyrer-Cuzick risk assessment calculator. But she had a 37.
Yeah, so she was real high.
Yeah. Whoa.
And is it high risk is 20? Is that what it is? So I give out the correct information. What is considered
high risk?
Hold on,
I'm reading an article about it.
Well, I gotta tell you, I was not high risk. I even did the BRCA. You can do the BRCA stuff through
these. I did that too.
Oh, good. You can do it even through services where you mail it in. I highly recommend people do these genetics. They think it was hormonal for me, meaning birth control pill, meaning IVF. Because look at the timeline of mine. 5 years. They say, oh, yeah, you've been incubating this for 5 years. I have a six-year-old.
Oh, my God.
That's weird. Isn't that weird? So one of my oncologists is like, it was a fluke. It's like hormonal. And also, by the way, I'll tell you what two questions they ask on every form when you have cancer, breast cancer. Did you smoke? And did you ever take the birth control pill? That's weird, because everyone told us it was perfectly fine to take the birth. I was preached that you can take birth control pill forever. It doesn't hurt. Why are they asking me this every time I go in for a cancer appointment? Mm-mm. Those are the two questions.
No way. Oh, my gosh.
To get off anything hormonal. I mean, look, I'm not a doctor. I'm just telling you what I know from my experience.
I had the IUD for years with hormones in it.
I think it's different when it's absorbed down there.
Okay.
I want to say, and I'm not a doctor, I want to say, I don't know. I want to say that's somewhat safer. I don't quote me on that.
Well, I used to be on the pill. I was on the pill.
That's what I did.
For my whole teenage years into when I started touring, I had to switch because I was going different time zones and I'm not responsible enough to take my pill. Yeah. So I switched to the IUD after that. But I was on the pill for years. I even did the shot one time and it made me a monster. So I never did that again. And then I did the IUD twice for 5 years. So I did it twice. And then I did the IVF once. Well, twice. And then, okay, but getting back to so I did my mammogram, the test, whatever. And then when my risk assessment came back higher, and they're like, we don't really know why. And they're like, so you can now get an MRI because you're technically high risk, so insurance will cover it. But then you would have to wait months to get seen in an MRI. It's not like you could just go schedule it tomorrow. You got to wait months. And I'm on the road. Yeah. I'm living in Nashville, but I'm having my boob appointment in LA. And I'm like, I'm not going to be here in months. Then they're like, well, we have this new machine that is it's kind of like an MRI, but it's different. I forget what it's called. I'll have to look it up. But you have to pay out of pocket, and it's $1,700. And I was like, done.
Yeah.
I'm paying it.
Yeah.
And I'm getting checked, please.
Yeah.
So I did it immediately. And which I didn't know, when you do the MRI and they put whatever the iodine is in you, it stays in there.
Forever?
Yeah.
Wait, what do you mean?
It stays in there. The dye, when you get an MRI, I was like, well, what's the difference between the machines? And she's like, well, when you get an MRI and they put the dye in you, it stays in there. This one, it doesn't. It's just there for this, and it'll be done by the end of the day or whatever.
That is wild.
So I go into this machine, you lay down flat, you put your boobs in these little hole things, and then it scans you, whatever, and you're hooked up to an IV because they're putting whatever iodine, whatever dye in your body. And but everything came back clear.
Great.
And it was fine. Yeah.
Great.
Now I go back every 6 months.
Do it. Because I agree. The medical industry is so broken. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel so bad for people that can't afford these things.
That's right.
If you're poor and you get cancer, good luck, dude.
Yeah.
Good luck. Because it costs a fortune. Yeah. I've had women tell me, they told me I have to have a mastectomy. Should they just cut one boob off or both? I can't afford both.
What?
So I just had one breast removed. And I'm like, yeah, but now the rest of your life is, you're completely worried about it coming back. And if it's not detected, you know what I mean?
No way.
Yeah. Well, and so many people delay seeking care because they're like, I don't have money. So
of course.
So it's like, I'd rather just live in ignorance, because then if I find out, well, then how am I going to pay for that?
Yeah.
And I get that. I have had several, I don't ever go to the doctor. For other reasons, lots of reasons, but
mental reasons.
But I do know, for a long time when I was first in LA and I didn't have insurance, and I remember I broke my toe and I was like, well, it's fine. It'll heal. It's a little crooked now, but it healed. But I mean, if there was a bigger issue, or there's people that just don't go because they're like, well, if I don't know about it, then I don't have to pay for it. And then, you know, I'll just... And that's why so much of it gets diagnosed so late, too, where it's like, well, now it's even worse. Yeah.
But also, too, the difference between how medicine works now and how it did when I was growing up is that, excuse me, the man in the white coat doesn't tell you what to do anymore. So it used to be that, hey, you have cancer? Okay, well, here's what you got to do. We're going to do this, this, blah, 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 next. And then you go, okay, thank you, guy in the doctor's suit. Mm-hmm. Now, because of liability or whatever, they're like, well, do you want to do this treatment or do you want to do that thing? And you're like, why are you asking me, bro? Yeah. do you want to cut both your boobs off? Do you want to save your nipple off the mastectomy? I'm like, I don't know. Does it stop the cancer from coming back?
Yeah.
Like, just stop the cancer from coming back. And I do think a lot of this is liability because they will be sued if they just take a course of action. Whereas you have to sign. I remember I wanted to keep my nipples for the mastectomy. Well, you got to sign 50 sheets of paper that they can save your nipples. Like, why? It's fine. Let's go, bro. Like,
wow.
Yeah. And I would also say go straight to a breast MRI. If you can afford it, the mammogram is, I think, great for many. From what I understand, great. The kind that I had was so rare. I just wish I had, if I had gotten a breast MRI earlier, it maybe would have been detected earlier.
Wow.
But they're like, just get a mammogram. You don't need to. I didn't know. I didn't know.
Wow. But,
yo, I know. Just get it. Pay for it. Do it.
How old are you?
I'm 48.
48. So yeah. You were diagnosed at 47.
Yeah, I was just turned for, so June 6th diagnosis, June 18th.
But for 5 years, it was in there.
It was cooking.
So 40, what is that? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 42. Yeah, so
right when I had my second kid is when that started cooking, they said.
Dang.
And I had just done some IVF. I had just injected myself full of hormones my whole life. I've been on the birth control pill since I was 15.
Wow. Wow.
And I'm telling you, dude, like I now I go to a whole like wellness doctor and I get my blood draw and they're like, Christina, your body is it is freakish. What a machine your body is. I'm Eastern European. I have good DNA, I have cockroach DNA. I don't die. Okay? Don't tell me I'm going to die. Yeah, I'm built like a cockroach. So for that to happen was like super freaky. Yeah. But then you never know.
Yeah.
You never know. You know what's the saddest thing? Speaking of gratitude.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I really got into fashion during my time and cancer.
Love.
Oh, because I was so depressed. I was buying everything online.
Love that for you.
I was like, Prada got me through radiation because I was like, you know what? If I'm
this
gonna...
radiation treatment is sponsored by Prada.
It was. I don't give a shit. I was like, forget it. Look, I already felt like crap.
Yeah.
I don't want to look like it. So when I would go to these treatments, I was in radiation for 7 weeks, 5 days a week. And I was like, you know what? Dang it, I'm not going to look sick. I don't want to. And I would walk in and they would make fun of me. The women at radiation was like, oh, here she comes. What shoes is she wearing today? Oh, you got them in black too. You have them in cream too. Because I was like mental. But there was something about that made me feel elevated and made me feel good. And I was at this fancy, it was at the Chanel store in New York on Saturday. And there's this older woman. She must have been in her 70s. And she's like, should I buy it? I don't know. It's too fancy. It's too fancy. Should I? I've never had one. And I went up to her and I go, hey, I hear you talking. I go, look, you don't know how much time you have. Buy the damn jacket. If you can afford it. If you can't afford it, get the damn jacket. Wear the jacket. But it's too fancy. I can't wear. It's never too fancy, babe. You could walk down Fifth Avenue and get hit by a car tomorrow. Die in the Chanel jacket.
Yeah.
but not to say just with material things, but you don't know how much time you have. Mm-hmm. So if that's what you enjoy.
If that's what you enjoy. Yeah.
I love it. And I love these things, those little things. It brings me joy. And I see people that aren't aware of that time yet. And I'm like, dude, you don't know. That is like a gift of getting sick as you go. You don't know.
Yeah.
You can make plans, but that's not a guarantee.
Yeah.
So enjoy it. Who cares? And I don't get hung up on small stuff the way I used to. I don't give a rip. Oh, there's traffic? I don't give a rip.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay,
I don't care. Mm-hmm. Oh, the flight. My flight got canceled. We came back from London 3 days late because Heathrow Airport was on fire. And I was like, oh, great. 3 more days in London. I don't care. Care. I'm with my kids. I'm healthy. Nobody's sick. Great. Let's go.
Yeah.
I don't care. Good. I don't know. It makes you retune.
How is this? And we'll get into gratitude. We'll just say your mattitude is cancer.
My mattitude?
Yeah. So we start off with that. Mattitude. Yeah. That's the thing that's making us mad these days.
Yeah.
And getting on our nerves. That's our mattitude.
Yeah.
And then we move into gratitude.
Let's
and
go.
We talk about the gratitude. So we'll Always. Just say this whole first part of cancer was your mattitude.
What makes you mad these days?
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. I would say me. my brain fog, my mom brain fog, and always being tired.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes me mad.
Yeah.
I'm like we went out last, I'm not drinking right now.
Yeah, me neither.
And
gives you cancer.
We went out last night, had some drinks, but I did mocktails. But this whole tour, we were on what, 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks now?
Yeah. Yeah. It's been over 3 weeks.
And this is my first time going out with everybody because I'm so tired. And I got to wake up early and be with Rosie and, you know, do her breakfast time. And she's in this tantrum phase. And so it's hard and it just like sucks the energy out of me. So like by the end of it, I'm like, oh, I'm tired. I can't really do anything. And I feel like that makes me mad these days that I feel like less of myself. Mm. But at the same time, I feel I love being a mom. Like, that's my favorite part. It's my favorite part of the day. And I'm spending most of my day being mom, and I love that part. But at the end of the day, I'm so tired, and I didn't get to, like, go be with my friends or go celebrate. Like, we're on a fun tour. We're in a different city. We're here. We're there. I haven't been able to do any of those things. And so there's that, like, tug of like, I love being a mom, but at the same time, I'm like, oh, I remember doing fun things.
I know.
Yeah.
And that's, it's, because it's such a massive life change.
Yeah.
It shifts everything around. Mm-hmm. And so you're really still in the midst of that. And the exhaustion of motherhood, especially in those early years, mm-hmm. it's not fair. It's really not fair. Because also you don't, there's like this tremendous pressure to enjoy everything.
Yeah.
She's only going to be
yeah.
6 months. Yeah. And you're like, yeah, but I'm so, so angry right now. I'm so cranky. I'm so, it's tough. But that's the challenge of parenting is to be mm-hmm. a good parent and show up for the job when you're so tired.
Yeah.
And you're just like, give me a break. Cause it's a marathon, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is a marathon. And you're still, you're in the deep trenches still.
Yeah. And I enjoy it, you know. Enjoy it. It's just real tiring.
Sometimes. Really tiring. Really tiring, dude.
I have a question for you real quick before we move into gratitude. And maybe it might be one of your gratitudes. I don't know.
Go ahead.
Or maybe it's opposite. Who knows? But how has this diagnosis changed or affected or not you and Tom?
Oh, my gosh. So here's the crazy part of this whole thing is that it made my life so much better. Mm. I know. I don't want to be like, I don't want to sound like Oprah, but like the messed up part of being, of going through all this darkness and the, is that it, when you get really traumatized, how should I put this? When you go through something traumatic, you reprocess everything in your life a different way, right? Like it cracks you open and now like all the stuff that you didn't want to look at for years has to be looked at. Mm-hmm. Otherwise you just become an angry alcoholic. So when you're right, when you're vulnerable and you're broken,
yeah,
you break wide open. And I had to like, yeah. So in a way, like, and I also heard that sometimes partners, if one of them's going through cancer and they don't tell the other person how they're feeling, that creates a divide. So I was really open with Tommy, like, all the time. Mm-hmm. And it brought us way closer together.
Wow.
But we've also been together for 20 years, and we've been through a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But now we're, like, better than ever. It's really crazy. Yeah, because I'm calmer.
Yeah.
I'm at the house. Yeah. I'm not, hi, babe, I got to go to the airport. I got to go to the, and then I got to, like, all that I got to is not happening for me anymore. And I don't think it's ever going to. I don't want it to come back.
Yeah, that's
great. I'm over it, dude.
It's great.
I did it. I'm done.
Yep.
Let him run around and tour. Right. I'm just going to stay home with the babies.
Yeah.
And bake and garden.
Yeah.
All that crap. But yeah, we're better than ever, which I didn't think that would happen. Super weird.
It's so interesting as you're like the...
So weird.
When you are like going through this traumatic thing, you're open and vulnerable and you have to look at the things. It's interesting to think about how when they went in for surgery and opened it up and then they see all this other stuff that you got to deal with, like, oh no, it's not just what we thought. It's all of this, you know, but it's when you open up and they see it and you deal with it. And that's like mirroring what's happening right. in your marriage. Like
right.
you open up
yep.
and you deal with it and yep. you start cleaning out.
Yeah.
And it makes you tighter and better than healthier than ever.
For sure. For sure. Thing. But you guys are also at a, I mean, I don't know. I haven't talked to you about this. I don't know. No. But kids are another rupture
for sure
in the marriage. And if you don't have the foundation, sometimes it's harder when people just get together and have kids, but it's another seismic shift when adding another person
yep.
to the twosome becomes a threesome, the threesome becomes a foursome. Uh-huh. That took years for Tom and I to figure that out.
Yeah.
Cause mom, I always think mom is heavier in the kid equation. Mm-hmm. Like we make them, we feed them with our bodies. Yeah. They want us in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not Tommy.
That's right. That's right.
He's asleep.
Yeah.
You know, I'm on mom duty
24/7. Mm-hmm.
So that too, I also was pushing against that so much. I got to be a career woman. I got to be a headliner. Mm. And I was like, dude, I'm too tired. I think I'm just going to try just to be a mom because I got two boys. They need me. I'm going to be there. And I think that just made everything kind of easier. I don't know. How are you guys with your, do you hate him? I hated my husband. Yeah. I hated his guts when we first had the baby.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's actually what I'm talking about in this hour.
Oh, good.
I'm talking about how I was so angry with Manny. And in the show, in my hour, if you guys come to my show, it's obviously in stand-up. I lean on the funny and I stay in that. But here on the podcast, I can tell you like more details. As I was so angry with him for no reason. Not a reason in sight.
No.
But he would walk in the room and my smile would go. For no reason. And I didn't see what I was doing. I didn't understand. I didn't know I was doing it until he called me out on it. And then when he did.
What did he say? He's like, I noticed.
He literally was like, you don't even smile at me anymore. And it wasn't like a,
whoa,
like, you don't even smile at me. It was like.
Sad.
Sad. Like, he was sad. And was like, I can't even imagine what you're going through. And I know you're tired. And I was healing from a C-section.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even realize you had a C-section.
Yeah. And
brutal.
He was just like, I'm trying to be there for you. But, like, you seem just mad at me. And you don't smile at me. You ignore me in the room. And I was doing all that. But I didn't pause to realize doing it until he communicated that to me. Then once he did, I was able to start working on it. But I had to work on it because I was so angry for no reason.
But do you think it's no reason? Like what is the root of the rage?
I feel like it's I'm, one, exhausted.
Yeah.
Two, my hormones are all over the place, so I'm just like when we're on our period, you just like snap for no reason, and you're like, okay, you breathed wrong, and now I'm angry. Mm-hmm. And so it was like that kind of stuff. So I think it was hormones, I was exhausted, it was I'm being needed by this new human. Mm-hmm. I don't need you to need me to.
Yes.
Can you go ahead and figure that out for yourself, please?
Yep.
But at the same time, I am his wife.
I know.
We're supposed to be filling each other's cup, you know? Yeah. And I had nothing to give him. And I was angry that he needed something from me to give. I'm like, how dare you need something from me?
Do you think I wonder if you felt isolated, like felt like you for have sure. no idea. I'm the only one dealing with all of this.
Oh, for sure.
There's no way you can help. Like,
it was definitely, it was a lot of
a little
that.
Bit of that.
And I think it was just like, He's just himself, going to the gym, being happy.
That's what infuriated me.
Sleeping peacefully.
That's what it was for me.
Uh-huh.
Is that, especially because you and I are, like, successful.
Yeah.
Well, and Tom does the same thing I do for a living. One of these people is doing their own thing, you know, and I was like, well, what does he get to... Uh-huh. Where are you going? I'm going to go do what I want.
Yeah.
Like, but I'm here. I'm with these kids, like, they're at the so much rage at that biological injustice, you know?
Oh, there was one time.
Yeah, tell it. I love it. This is a juicer.
There was one time.
One time.
Manny was sleeping, and it's like, I don't know, 2 a.m, and I'm breastfeeding Rosie. And next to me in the bed is Manny with his eye mask on.
Okay.
And his headphones on, peacefully just off in I don't know where land. And I remember just like feeding her and looking at him like, I can't stand
I could murder
And
him.
He's just peacefully sleeping. And you're like, you're the worst person I've ever met.
And I'm just like,
yeah. Yeah.
Fuming.
Yeah.
Because he's peacefully sleeping. Yeah, because
you want him to suffer the way you're suffering. Yeah. It's not rational. Yeah. It's not good.
No.
Because I would tell my therapist that. I'm like, I just want him to suffer like I'm suffering. She's like, you know, that's really not. Right. I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess not.
You're like, but just for like a little bit.
Just a little bit. And like my husband sleeps through everything. Mm-hmm. I think that's also a guy, I don't know, just a lazy dad thing.
I heard my doctor had mentioned something about it. And it was like she was giving me a story from her own life where she's like, my husband was in charge of the baby and I went to go take a shower so I can just shower. And I hear the baby crying.
No.
And he's not doing anything about it. And she's like, I have to yell out the shower like, do you hear the baby? And it's like they don't register the cry the way us, the mom, where I can be dead asleep.
Yep.
And if Rosie just makes a noise as she flips to the other side, like,
yeah.
I'm like,
yeah. Yeah.
What'd you do?
Yeah.
Okay. And they could be, and she's like, do you hear?
No.
They don't.
No.
It doesn't register the same way it does for moms. It's different. And then I just heard Eliza Schlesinger actually talk about this in an interview where she was talking about mom brain and how like scientifically our brain like shrinks in this area so it can grow in this area so that we can be the mom that we need to be for this baby so that we can be attuned to their cry so that we can know that's a hunger cry, that's a pain cry, that's a blah, blah, blah cry. So it's like we forget math so that we can care for a human, you know?
Yeah. Yes. Especially those early years. I would say 0 to 4 is that primal. Like my kids would cry and I would feel it in my body. Like my baby would cry and my loins, like my insides were like, the baby's crying. Like you just.
Uh-huh.
And then even now, I remember we were on a trip. This was like 2 years ago in a hotel. And I just heard a, and I go, oh, Julian just threw up in the bed. And Tom goes, what? How do you know that? I go, he just puked. I just heard it. He goes, you did? I go check. And sure enough. Juliana just puked in the bed. I'm like, I just heard like a, I know it, dude.
Wait,
I don't have it.
I've seen videos like, you know, people have their home cameras or whatever. And I saw a video recently where this mom, she was like dead asleep with her kid. And then she just jolted awake and put her hands under her set and he just threw up.
Yeah.
Like she just like knew.
Yeah.
Moms are
instinctively
superhuman heroes.
Yeah. But what is that? Why do birds, you ever see birds like switch when they're in the flock? Like, okay, turn right, everybody.
Uh-huh.
Turn left, everybody. Like, maybe, is it that frequency? Is
that
nature?
That frequency.
I don't know, man. It's wild. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, oh, sorry. I was going to say that it calms down. You will get your brain back.
You do?
Yeah. You'll get
it back. I thought you never get it back.
Mm-mm.
Wait, that's hopeful.
No, you'll get your brain back. Just give it until like 5 or 6 by the time she's in kindergarten, you'll be pretty much out of that complete. Because I can read books now. I'm back to reading books and like I'm back to thinking thoughts that are
at this point, I'm not going to be able to help her with homework. Like that's just going to be, what? No. I'm sorry.
You're multiplication? Like, you're you like, you got it. You got it.
No. Like 4 it'll get really easier, and you'll see. By the time kinder, you'll be free. You're back.
Because I started learning Spanish. Ooh. I've been saying I want to learn Spanish for a long time.
Que lastima.
And yeah,
it's probably not the right thing to say.
I've been saying it for a long time. I have many jokes about how I don't speak Spanish, blah, 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 blah. So our nanny only speaks in Spanish to awesome. Rosie. And then now our in-laws move right next door to us. Nice. And they all speak Spanish to her. So everybody's speaking Spanish. Rosie now favors Spanish.
Amaze.
You can ask her a question in English. Be like, you want some pasta? Si. Si. Mm-hmm. Like she's just
there's a lot of things that she says, and I look at you like, and this would be
And she favors, and she'll say, she'll hear a sound over there, and she'll go, quiero ver, I want to go see it. Quiero ver, I want to see. Like she favors Spanish, so I'm like, I have to learn Spanish.
Yes,
because one, I gotta make sure she's not talking about me behind my back. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But also, I want to be able to communicate with her.
Yes.
So I hired a Spanish tutor. And I was like, I'm going to learn Spanish. Like, here
How's
I am.
How's it going?
Awful.
No.
Because my brain. I can't learn.
Oh, shoot. Yeah.
It's the stupidest thing.
Yeah.
Like, she'll say a full sentence, and I'll be like, what? Mm. What did you say? Like, it's not clicking. Even the English parts are not clicking. Mm-mm. And I'm like, wait, hold on. Okay, start over. And I have to take full-on notes, like write down what she just said so that I can just read it again and be like, okay, yeah, you asked me. Okay. It's so awful, my mom brain fog that I have that I can't learn. I'm like, man, I wish I would have done this before I had a baby because if I would have invested in myself to learn Spanish like 5 years ago, I would be crushing it right now.
Yeah.
But it's so hard.
Wait until, you'll get it back, sweetie. Just give it a minute. But you're in survival mode.
Like, yeah.
She's still a baby.
She's still a baby. I was planning a tour. Manny's like, why would you start a Spanish class, a weekly Spanish class, when you're getting ready to go on a major tour? And now I'm on a bus. I had to cancel it because I'm like, I have no capacity to do this class while I'm on a tour bus. I have no Wi-Fi to even get on a Zoom with you right now. It's not working. But he's like, why would you hire a Spanish tutor right before you go on a major tour? I'm like, I don't know. I wanted to learn Spanish.
But see, I think too, because I made mistakes when I had my kids very little, is like I kept going hard the way I thought I had to as a feminist, as a woman, as a, and now in hindsight, I look back, I recorded a 30-minute special for Netflix when I was pregnant with my second baby, and I was huge. I was like 7 months pregnant, and I was like, what was I doing? I wish I had just given
myself. What was I trying to prove?
Yeah. Like, just give myself grace to not.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to say is give yourself some grace and some space. You're already working. You're touring. Yeah. You're memorizing an hour of material. You're performing the material. And you're being a full-time mother. It's it's grueling.
Thank you.
You're good.
Thank you.
You're not doing anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe Rosie will just teach you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She'll start doing that.
It's usually like the kids are translating for their parent who only speaks Spanish.
That's
the other way around.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so cool, though.
I bet when you get your brain back, it'll click, though, because you've probably heard it your whole life, Spanish. You've been around it, right?
Yeah. I mean, my family mostly speaks English, but I'm around it now, like, all day long. His parents are speaking Spanish there. I hear our nanny speaking Spanish there. And I'm actively listening. So she'll say something, and then I'll say what I think she just said.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so she'll be talking to her, and I'll just be like, you know, are you hungry? And she goes, yeah, that's what I was saying. And I was like, okay, good. So I'm listening, and I'm taking it in. And so I'm just making sure I'm following along, at least, with Rosie. But
be gentle.
Anyway, there's so much going on in your life right now. What are you grateful for? And, I mean, we've already talked about how you and Tom are closer because of this, and that's definitely something to be grateful for.
Yes.
What else are you grateful for right now?
Okay. Obviously my children. I mean, let's just cross that off the list. And this is going to sound really weird, but because I thought of this question beforehand because I knew you'd ask me this. And this is truth. I haven't told anybody this. But when I wake up in the morning and let's say I'm like in a grumpy mood, I'm not like totally depressed, like this day is shot, but like just kind of like, I always remember, again, this is going to sound whatever, that I'm so grateful to be living in, how do I say this, an easy part of the world to live in.
Yeah.
My parents went through so much to get me here that I'm like, wow, I'm just, man, isn't this great? Like I woke up in Austin, Texas today and I've got like a roof over my head and I've got a toilet seat that cleans my tush for me. And like I'm going to have coffee. Like how great is that first morning coffee?
Oh, the first sip.
Oh,
the first sip of a morning coffee is like,
yeah.
Holy Spirit. Yes.
Hey. Yeah. And you, if you really want to elevate your life, I mean, if you only want to elevate your life, Angela.
Yeah.
Get yourself a heating pad.
A heating pad.
Mm-hmm. Go to CVS or whatever. Get a heating pad. Put it in your bed. And when you're sitting there in the morning with your coffee, crank that puppy on.
And just get warm and toasty?
Yeah. That, like little stuff like that. And then I listen to music. I write. I read. I just like take my time in the mornings. And it used to be the opposite. Like you shoot out of bed, the baby's crying, you gotta go. You know that. Yeah, she's dreaming of it. I see your face. Yeah. You're like, I remember those days where you could just lounge.
You write and you read in the morning. What do you read?
Oh my gosh, everything. Right now about gardening. I'm reading about gardening.
Which book are you reading about gardening?
So many. How to Grow The Dummy's Guide to Growing Fruits and Veg.
Have you looked into what's his name? Ron Finley, I think his name is.
No.
Is it Ron Finley? Can you look up Ron Finley? I think his name is Ron Finley. He's who I looked up during one of my quarantine garden that I had. But he would
says
do...
he's a fashion designer.
Oh, okay, wrong. Put gardener. Yeah. Okay. Is it Ron Finley? Is his name? Yeah. Okay, so
I see it now.
Yeah, sorry. I started watching
him. Your cousin who just lives here?
Yeah.
Like, who is this guy? Do we wake you up? Where have you been?
He's been here the whole time.
No, I know. It looks like you're just playing video games.
Came out in his chonies.
Yeah,
Alex.
That's my Ukrainian nephew.
Yeah, I was
going to
say. What?
He helps with the cameras.
So he would show you how you could plant lettuce in an old boot.
That's kind of cool stuff.
And so he would like build these gardens in like South Central and like just show you how you can put a garden anywhere and stuff. Anyway, so I started learning about gardening from him. I started following a lot of different gardening pages on Instagram and I started messaging with them like, how do you do this? And like they would be, oh, it's your soil probably, blah, 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 blah. And I started making gardening friends on Instagram. You should do that.
I gotta go there. That's my next step, man.
Message them and then they'll share tips and stuff.
I need tips because I'm just in the researching phase.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's so many different like fun and then they can like give you, you know, tips, ideas, and, you know, troubleshooting things. Like, what the heck? My lettuce is not. They're like, oh, okay, you got to do this. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Thank you.
Was your garden outdoors in the backyard? You didn't have a greenhouse or like cover
it? It was outdoors and it had this like cage thing over it to keep it safe from wildlife. And then on my lettuce section, I had this like tarp thing so the sun wouldn't beat too hard on the lettuces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a big problem. I know.
Yeah.
That's why I grow hydroponically. Fine. Oh my gosh.
Okay, I'm back to your gratitude.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. So what else? Yeah, I got the cat. Yeah. So then I call Munchkin in.
Uh-huh.
Munchkin and I have a sesh.
Yeah.
And I love his fishy little breath.
Sleep?
With my sons. He guards them. He like watches over them. It's really sweet. Yeah. And then I love his fishy little breath. I'm very grateful for fishy cat breath.
And his scratchy tongue.
I love scratchy cat tongue. And I love, but more than anything, I love smelly dog breath. It's my favorite.
Well, you got a plethora of it right here. Just give it a good whiff.
Let's take a whiff.
It was worse. It was worse, but he just got some teeth pulled.
Oh,
that's why it was
bad. That's why they get stinky. Yeah,
because he had some loose teeth. So once they took it out, now his breath is a little bit better. That's my fault. I didn't brush his teeth.
Yeah, who brushes their dog's teeth? We don't brush Munchkin.
Sorry.
Who cares? That's all right. What are you grateful for? You tell me.
Oh, man. This is what I'm grateful for. The fact that, and it can make me a little emotional, 17, 18 years into touring, people still care about what I have to say.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in the middle of this tour right now, and there'll be like a theater full of people. And the other night I was at the venue and I was looking at this one section. And there's maybe like 100 people in this section. And I was like, I remember when I was at a place where if I could just fill this section, that's wild to me. This many people want to see me and paid for a ticket to see me. And then I zoomed out a little bit more and I saw the section next to it. And then I looked up at this whole 3-layer balcony and I was like, this many people care about what I have to say. And they bought a ticket.
Oh, and they got babysitters and they parked and they planned.
They went to dinner.
Yeah.
For some of them, they're like, this is our thing. Like, you're our thing. Mm. With me and my mom, we send your videos back and forth to each other. We quote you every day. One of us will say just one or something and they'll quote me. And they're like, you're a part of our everyday life. That is wild to me. The fact that city after city, we go and I'm like, I'm so grateful. I can't believe that this is my life. And I don't understand. It's wild how lucky I am. I'm just grateful for that.
And I would say that you're one of those people for whom it was destined to be. I've known you for so many years now. I don't think there was anybody for whom stand-up comedy was meant to be more than for Angela Johnson. Because you quite literally were like the first viral stand-up comic. Like nobody, there isn't a person alive that doesn't know the nail lady bit.
Yeah.
It's like this iconic, and how weird, like you were just a baby comic back.
24.
And that's like the beginning of the internet, the beginning of people going, how do we even share your clip? People must have emailed it.
Yeah, yeah.
And how bananas that like you were destined to do that job. So you're very important.
Yeah,
it's important what you do, and to whatever it is that's being communicated through you needs to come. Because that was divine. That bit, right? Where did that bit come from?
Life. Just... because I can do an accent really well, and it's really just life. That story, the nail salon story, is really just from the time I walk into the salon to the time I walk out. These are all the things that I've heard. This is the story that takes place. This is what I experience. I get a compliment. I get upsold on something, another service. And it's one of those things where I think about like, my job is to share my life story with people. And when I write, my goal, my number one goal, obviously to bring joy and make people laugh, but it's to connect on a human level.
For sure.
Like that's first and foremost.
For sure.
I want you to feel seen by my life and go, oh, me too.
Yeah.
And like, that's number one. Because already, if you're like, me too, it's already funny.
Yeah. Yeah, if it's honest and if it's real.
Yeah.
And I also think that clip of you, I mean, gosh, just a little baby. There's something.
Not a wrinkle in sight.
There still isn't, babe. You still look great. But there's some divine essence in that clip, man. You know what I mean? There's a spark. And I think that's why some things you're like, why did that go viral? I mean, you know how it is.
Yeah.
You're like, you're sitting in the park. I was watching my kids play and I'm like, you know what I hate? Send. And then millions of people love it. Whereas something you craft and I can't, this one's so clever. Aren't I the clever? Nobody gives a rip. And, but I think there's something to that is when you're so connected to your being, to your essence. Mm-hmm. That's that divine stuff. Mm-hmm. And people go, the connectedness that you're talking about.
Oh, it's so interesting. Yeah.
It's so in tune with like how you're whatever, the divinity in you, mm-hmm. your connectedness. Mm-hmm. And then it's like a lightning bolt. It's unstoppable.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's why people can smell BS. People can tell when you're being inauthentic, when you're lying to them.
Yeah.
It reads...
That is an interesting thought to think about. When I'm most connecting to my audience is when I'm most connected to my creator.
For sure, dude.
I can create best when I'm connected to my creator.
Yeah, because you're not, you're in there's a clear channel. The channel's clear. You're not being obstructed by like, what does so-and-so think about me? I'm so embarrassed. Yeah. And what about, am I fat? Am I old? Am I all that chatter goes away. And that's another reason I stopped drinking too when I found out alcohol was a carcinogen. But like, it clears the channel. You know, when you're drinking and you're doing like whatever nonsense you're into, it clears that. It obstructs that, And you're not. Yeah, you're not receiving your downloads, man.
What was your drink of choice before you stopped drinking?
Oh, wine. What are you drinking?
White or red?
White. Like a real mom.
Yeah. Yeah, from the box.
Little Sauvignon Blanc.
Yes.
Yeah. Can't do it anymore. It's okay, though. I'm kind of okay without it.
Yeah.
How are you?
So my drink of choice is tequila.
Yes.
I like to just keep a little bottle of tequila in the freezer.
Yeah.
Keep it in the freezer. And then at night after Rosie would go down, just pour a little glass and just.
Yeah.
Love. Yeah. It's a nice little digestive too. It just helps you digest your food. And I've been fine without it. But I do like when I think about I stopped drinking just because I felt my body was saying, hey, it's not for us right now.
Yeah.
And I really felt like my body was trying to communicate with me. And so I was like, I think I'm going to stop drinking because I would go to a restaurant and I just wouldn't want a cocktail where typically I'm like, what do you have?
Yeah.
I love a craft cocktail.
Yeah.
And I just felt like not ordering. So then I was like, you know, I'm going to make a conscious decision to not drink. And so now I know every time I go, it's not, do I want one? Do I don't? No, I'm not drinking right now. So I made that clear. And then even Mal, who opens for me, he was like, all right, let's get a good bottle of whiskey for the bus or a good bottle. What do we want? Dang. A whiskey or a tequila? Like we're going to get our one like spoil ourselves after the show, you know, just a nice little sip on while we drive. Not us driving not while you. We're on the bus. Yeah. The driver is driving sober minded. And I was like, I'm not going to be drinking on this tour. And he's like, cool. All right. So me and Danielle.
Thanks for that.
Yeah. But I'm not being like, never drinking again. It wasn't that. It was just, I'm not supposed to be drinking right now. So I'm not going to drink right now. And then I keep meeting and talking to people that are like, yeah, I stopped drinking. I don't drink anymore. And I was like, am I going to be that person? Am I going to not drink anymore? Because I wasn't prepared to say goodbye forever. Like this was a momentary goodbye. But at the same time, I don't like miss it where I'm like, oh, I really want tequila. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to stop drinking forever or it's just for right now. I'm not quite sure. I haven't made a decision.
Yeah, you can change.
But then hearing right now, you're like, it's a carcinogen. And I'm like, oh, maybe I should.
I know.
But I have heard doctors be like, if you're going to drink, tequila is the best.
That's what I've heard too, because it's agave. What is that?
Yeah, because agave plant, and also it's a digestive, and it's like, you know, it has health benefits.
That's what they said about wine. They're like, it's good for you.
That's what they said about smoking too back in the day.
Yeah, right. And keeps you thin. Just do it.
I love this. I love, I mean, you have. an incredible life, friend.
You do. Who are you telling it to?
Yeah. No, we're blessed.
Can you believe that people want to listen to us talk like about just nonsense?
Yeah.
It's fun. No, I'm grateful for that, too. I should have mentioned that. Like, yeah, just my life.
Yeah.
Like, who gets to... I don't know, dude. I lucked out so hard in the lottery of life. Like, maybe not my early life. Like, I always say my childhood was a disaster. But then everything else has just been gravy. Like, I met a husband young, and he's rad, and I have great kids and this career and this life. Like, who gets all this?
Yeah.
It's bananas. Mm-hmm. So... I'm good. Like, I'm good, man. And thank God for SSRIs. I don't know if you're on the meds yet.
No.
Those are really good, too.
I'm SSRIs?
Some, yeah, you know, like Lexapro. I'm on some good stuff, too. So that really helps.
Yeah,
I'm grateful for that because without it, you know. This mind is a playground. I don't know. You're not as neurotic as me, though. I don't think you are.
No. We talked about that, too, with your psychiatrist. I remember one time I was like, oh, can you give me their number? You're like, it's conflict of interest, bro. I
can't. You don't want these numbers.
Did you guys get a new podcast studio recently? I saw you post something like there was pictures on the wall or whatever.
No. It's Austin for the last 4 years. We had a wall of attractive men.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That
my husband's taking pictures with.
Yeah.
Which is really funny. Yeah. No, same old. We're doing our thing. Cruising along.
Very cool. And then your lipstick, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's talk about your lipstick.
All right. Here's another thing I did. So every time I had a surgery or I did anything crazy, I would wear makeup.
Yeah.
I would wear makeup for every surgery and before radiation. I went in looking like a champ. Yeah. And so I know the power of a good lipstick. And so I have a lipstick company. It's just Christina P is the brand. And I added 3 colors. And it's doing really well. I'm so grateful for that one, man. I got it. Yeah.
Where can we get it?
ChristinaP.com.
Just go to your website and you can order it.
Yeah. Awesome. And I don't know. I'm behind it because it's a good product. And I did a lot of research. And I find that... a lot of people don't put good quality stuff out there.
That's right.
The packaging is really nice, but the quality suffers. So I work with this Italian company, and I pay a little bit extra, and it's awesome.
That's amazing. You're giving your people good quality stuff.
Yeah, man. I can't sell people crap.
That's right.
I'm against it.
Mm-hmm.
I won't do it.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do it. These big companies, you're like, how are you guys doing what?
Okay. Yeah.
It's not worth it to me.
Amazing.
Yeah, dude.
So you got your lipstick.
Yeah.
What else? Do you have a special?
That's killed for now. I mean, I was about to ramp up to shoot something, and then I got sick, and now I'm rewriting. Because how can I go back to being like...
Exactly. No, it's a whole...
God, it's killed.
Yeah.
It's done. So I'm writing new stand-up now, and I'm going to work it out.
It's going to be so incredible. Oh, my gosh.
We'll see.
No, it will.
We'll see.
Just like we just finished saying, when you're connected to your creator, you create the most amazing things. And you're so connected right now. You're in your garden connected with Mother Earth.
I know, gosh.
You are out there with Mother Earth creating life in a plant. You're going to create the most insane story, joke that's going to connect on a human level in such a powerful way. It's going to be the best. Yeah, I can't wait.
Thanks, man. Well, I figure if 1 in 6 women are going to get breast cancer, you're going to know somebody that's going to get the diagnosis. So you could be like, hey, my friend wrote an hour, actually, about the whole experience, which is what I'm attempting to do.
Yeah.
Make it funny, though. I'm not going to make it a total bummer.
Sure.
So that it can be watched if somebody's going through it.
That's right.
Which is really important.
That's right.
Well, you know that. You're telling the truth about hating Manny for a minute.
Yeah.
No hatred anymore, though.
No.
You guys are in love.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we still love each other.
That's good.
And we still get on each other's nerves.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
But no, it's good.
I love
Christina,
you.
I love you so much.
You're my favorite.
Thank you. Thank you for taking time to come and be on my podcast today.
Of course.
Share your journey with everybody and just where you're at and your gratitudes.
Thanks, buddy.
I appreciate you. I love you.
I love you more. Just come on your mom's house. What are you doing?
Oh, man, I would love to.
All right. Let's talk.
Done. Let's go right now.
Okay.
Bye, everybody.